We've got a very special program lined up for us today. Normally, as I've indicated to you in the past, you folks are my favorite guests, and we don't have guests on this show very often because I want to spend time talking to you. But today, because of the urgency of this and because of the fact that this is happening right now, we are going to have a guest on the show. John Kottmeyer of Save a Patriot Fellowship is going to be joining us in a little bit here, and we'll be talking to him about the current efforts to stop him and others from telling the truth about the income tax and about the government's big lie. We're also going to very briefly return to our previous format of trying out and testing the waters on talking about a particular aspect of the law in a sort of a fun educational way, and covering a couple of points at a time, taking this elephant, breaking it up into bite-sized pieces. Later on, once we've had a chance to visit with John for a little while, we're going to be taking calls. You might want to write this down. If you have comments or think you might have a question for John or for me, at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And we're going to starting up with that after the first break. In the meantime, let's step back for a couple of weeks and review the fact that we covered McCulloch v. Maryland, which told us two things. First off, that the taxing authority cannot exceed the governing authority. And secondly, that the governing authority consists only of those things that exist by virtue of the government's authority, because it says so, or are introduced, done, by the government's permission. So if it doesn't exist, or if the activity doesn't exist, or the subject of the tax doesn't exist because they gave it existence, or if it isn't being conducted or engaged in because they gave permission to do it, then it's beyond their taxing authority, according to the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, what I'd like for each of you to be thinking about, and to get you back into your Constitution, is to go dig up your Constitution and find, particularly if you're engaged in some occupation for which you receive wages, salaries, bonuses, commissions, what have you, where you earn your money personally, then find your activity within the Constitution. Find out where and how Congress can govern and regulate what you're doing, or where Congress has created whatever you are and what you're doing. And if you owe your existence, or you owe the existence of your occupation, or if you owe the permission to engage in that occupation to Congress, then perhaps it might be under their taxing authority. But why don't you just go scour through your Constitution, see if you can find yourself in there. Because if you can't, then that tells you that you are beyond the federal government's taxing authority. And that would make, according to John Marshall, your earnings would be exempt, is the word he used. And we'll be back here in a few minutes, and we'll pick up from there. And then we're going to also be talking to Mr. John Kottmeyer.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permanent hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
And we're back up and running here in the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer, and we're talking about truth. We're talking about taxes. And we're going to have a very, very brief educational portion of the program today, because we want to reserve as much time as we can for our very special guest. So I'm just going to cover for just a second the difference between direct taxes and indirect taxes. And the reason I'm selected that is because just recently a very bright gentleman in Dallas, Texas, gave me a different way to explain that. I've tried to explain it a lot of different ways, but he gave he came up with a unique way. The fellow's name is Tom Selgus, a very good friend of our guest, John Kottmeyer, today. Tom distinguished the two as a direct tax being a tax on nouns and an indirect tax being a tax on verbs. Now, we're talking about person and property versus activities, privileged activities, this, that, and the other. But that really boils it down even farther. And that tells us if it's on a noun, if it's a tax on a noun, a thing, a person, place, or thing, then it's a direct tax. If it's on an activity or a verb, a doing word, then doing something is taxed. That is an indirect tax. And now, basically, what difference does that make? If it's a direct tax, it's mandatory. When the tax is imposed, you owe it, period. Simply because you have that, you are that person that's taxed, or you are that noun, or you have that noun. On the other hand, if it's an indirect tax, it's voluntary, because you can choose to engage or not to engage in whatever activity or verb is being matter. If it's direct, it has to be apportioned. They can't send you the bill. They can't tax your property and send you the bill. Congress has never intended to touch you or your property. And if it's on an activity, it has to be an activity, as we've already discussed, that they have the right to govern. So if it's a verb that they can govern, then it's still voluntary because you have the last word on whether you're going to do that verb. And you have the last word on whether or not you're going to incur the tax. And in that case, instead of a portion to the state, the bill can come directly to you. But remember, you had the last word on whether you incurred it. Now, that's about to set a record on what we're going to cover on the instructive portion of the program. Because at this point, I want to bring on our guest. He's certainly not a stranger to this community. As a matter of fact, if this community has a patriarch, it would be John Kottmeyer. While I have risked much, and I've been, congratulated recently over certain accomplishments for the time being, this man has paid the price. He hasn't risked; he sacrificed. And there's that my hat's off to the gentleman. And for those of you who have called in and asked questions about administrative law, that I've told you, this is not an area that I really have much interest or knowledge in. This is a gentleman that does have a great deal of knowledge about administrative tax laws and can answer a great number of questions in that regard. And so we're very fortunate to have him on today. John, are you with us there?
Yeah, I'm here, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on. And what I'd like to do is you know, if it's all right, John, is to spend a few minutes here and do some catching up, bring everybody up to date as to the part you're playing and the role you play in getting the truth out about the income tax and other issues. And then after we've discussed that for a bit and talked about some of the information that these folks need to know about, perhaps take a few calls from them. Would that be all right with you?
Sure.
Well, why don't you tell us in general terms about how you became first involved in these issues, John?
Well, it sort of evolved, I guess, from the Bay of Pigs invasion back in 1963.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, that's... I had spent 4 years in the United States Naval Aviation during the Korean conflict, and I was, at the time of the Bay of Pigs invasion, I was on the police force in Baltimore. And when I heard the news, what happened in that fiasco, I said, this is not for real. I said, this is ridiculous. And it started me questioning what my government was doing, who in my government was doing it, and for what reason. And it finally it led me to investigate a lot about the communist conspiracy. Became a member of the John Birch Society and started studying history and contemporary history about socialism and what was going on in our country. I can recall as a young fellow, when they went after Joe McCarthy, and we had all those hearings on TV, I was just a kid, and I was thinking, why are they after that man? He's trying to help us out, you know? And then it started making sense later on. But along about 1968, about 4 or so years later, I got a little newsletter called the Washington Observer. It came out weekly. Or monthly, I don't recall, but it had an article in there about a man by the name of H.A. Porth, who was a building contractor in the state of Kansas, and that Porth was taken to court and put into a mental institution by the order of a judge because he was alleging the fact that, you know, you can't fill out a 1040 form without violating your Fifth Amendment privileges. And, you know, the judge said he wasn't going to let him out until he promised that he wasn't going to talk about that anymore. Well, the hair stood up on the back of my neck, and that's when I entered into what is now called the tax movement. And over the years, you know, different things evolved, and we were involved back in the days when we say, well, what would happen if we do this? We say, well, let's do it and see. And it brought us down the long trail. When we finally started understanding the law, you know, we spent a lot of years believing the Internal Revenue Code laid an income tax on U.S. citizens' income. And we never got into the code, but when we started finding these different court decisions, like for Schaefer and Stanton versus Baltic Mining Company and the like, then we started looking into the code and found out a lot of things that have been, you know, revealed now that a lot of citizens understand and know and what you're talking about. And things kind of changed. I started a couple organizations back in the early 70s, one being the Committee of Correspondents from Maryland. And we had making quite a bit of a stir. And we had a lot of public gatherings and all, and got a lot of media. Well, finally, we issued an ultimatum to the U.S. Attorney in Baltimore and to the District Director of Internal Revenue in Baltimore to show us different things about the law. And we would love to debate them on these issues about tax law. And we did it publicly. And Channel 11 in Baltimore offered the time, and we accepted, and the other two didn't. They got egg on their face because they wouldn't accept and come on the TV. So the windup was, in 1976, I got a rap on the door, and two special agents read me my rights. That was expected to come. A fellow who was working with me, John Sasser, at the time. We met in his living room, and we said, you know, we got to get something going here to get the word out. And we decided on this public event. And I said to him, I said, well, you know what's going to happen if we do this? And he said, yeah, I know. I said, you want to? He says, let's do it. And the windup was we both went to jail.
For telling the truth.
For telling the truth, yes. They rapped on my door in 76. Finally, in 81, they indicted me. And I had the longest trial that I know of for two misdemeanors. It lasted a month, and it was a total political trial. It was really a fiasco. I had the longest arraignment in the history of the federal courts, too.
What happened at the arraignment?
Well, Irwin Schiff came down from New York. He asked if he could represent me, and I said, sure. And Irwin and I were buddies, and he went there. And I gave him a power of attorney. He became my attorney, in fact. And on the way down to the courthouse, he says to me, he says, look, John, he said, I go to jail, he says, but I got a radio show to do in New York tomorrow, so I'll take the judge as far as I can, then I'll have to drop out. I said, that's fine, Irwin, no problem. And he did that. I mean, the place was packed. They had patriots out. It must have been 200 patriots outside carrying signs around and the block and the courtroom. We couldn't get anybody else in it. And I went in the back, and Irwin went up and told the judge he was representing me. And the judge said to him, are you a bar attorney, Mr. Schiff? He said, I'm Mr. Cutmar's attorney, in fact.
Well, now, remember where you are on that, John, because I want to hear the rest of that story. But we've got a break that we're going into right about now. And you might make a note, folks, 1-800-313-9443. It'll be a little bit before we start taking calls, but we've got a great one to talk to today for you.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Zone. This is Tom Cryer, and we have with us today John Kottmeyer of the Save a Patriot Fellowship. And, John, you were telling us about the longest arraignment in history.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. You want to just pick up where he left off?
Well, surely. The judge kept threatening to hold Irvin in contempt because he kept asking him if he was a bar attorney, you know. Irvin kept saying he was my attorney, in fact. And finally, Irvin saw that the judge really meant business, and he said, well, because the judge told him he better leave the court. So he came back and sat alongside me, and he leaned over and he whispered in my ear, he says, boy, he's hot, isn't he? I said, yeah, I think you got him there. So anyway, the judge says to the U.S. attorney, he says, Kottmeyer didn't show? And the U.S. attorney says, oh, he's here, Judge. He's in the back here with Schiff. And so the judge says, Kottmeyer? And I stood up and I said, yes. He says, come on up here. I said, I don't think so. I said, if I agree to your invitation, it might be interpreted, and I'm giving this court jurisdiction, and I have no intention of doing that. He says, I'm telling you to come up here. And I said, I'm telling you I'm not going to come up there. And so finally, he says, if you don't come up here, I'll have these U.S. attorneys bring you up here. I said, well, I'm not going up there. So he sent two of them back here, two marshals, not U.S. attorneys, marshals. And And so they grabbed me by the arms, one on each arm, and I went limp. And so they started dragging me up towards the front. I mean, they were laboring. I must have went about 240 at the time. And I could hear them breathing heavy, you know. So when we got up to where the car was, to go into the court's area, and I hollered out real loud, "Let the record show that I'm being dragged into this court against my will. I'm not conceding jurisdiction." And the judge hollered out, "They're not dragging you, they're walking you." And everybody in the courtroom hollered, "They're dragging him."
you made their day.
And you can see the judge hit a buzzer, a button, it went off. And they had it must have been 15 U.S. Marshals hiding behind the doors. And they come flying out with the clubs. And the judge hours to them, "Clear the courtroom." So they're pushing people out. And my wife and sat in the front, and I had a son and one lead from the Marine Corps. And he was sitting there, and they were clearing the seats, and they wouldn't budge. And the marshal went over to my son, to tell him to grab him, to tell him to get him. And he stood up and took a stance. And the judge saw that, and he says, let him stay, you know. So finally, I stood up there, and I wouldn't enter a plea. And they were really perturbed over that. And I,
so they had to read the entire bill or indictment, whichever it was, out then. You didn't waive anything.
That's right, and I refused to enter a plea. And they said, well, so the judge, he didn't know, he just was befuddled. I guess he never read anything like this before.
Well, but I mean, even a rookie judge would know that if the defendant refuses to plea, that they automatically enter a not guilty plea for him.
Well, I was arguing some other things with the guy went along with it.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, he said, send over and get the public defender. So I said, oh, no, you don't. I said, that man gets his wages from the federal government. He has a vested interest in convicting me. I said, he's not. I'm not going to accept him. And the judge says, get him anyway. And he brought him back, and he come over. I put my hand up. I said, no, I'm not accepting this gentleman. So finally, the U.S. attorney, this is about, I guess it was about 2 hours later, almost 3 hours we went through this stuff. And finally, the U.S. attorney says, well, Judge, I believe if you tell Cutmar that he's not given his court jurisdiction, that he would do so. So the judge said, okay, Cutmar, you're not giving the court jurisdiction. I said, and you're saying that I'm not going to give the court jurisdiction by entering a plea. And he said, no, of course I knew it was.
Yeah, that's a general appearance.
Yeah, right. So anyway, after that, I refused to have my photo taken or fingerprinted. So four marshals picked me up, and they carried me back to this elevator because I wouldn't walk. And when we get back in the elevator, they all the marshals busted out laughing. What's wrong with you guys? You crazy? They said, man, we hope you win. We don't like that any more than you do.
Well, and you know, I had a similar experience as I was leaving the courtroom after the not jury verdicts were handed down. One of the marshals leaned over and caught me by the arm as I was leaving out the door. He was holding the door open for everyone. And he said, Mr. Cryer, he said, I just want you to know I was praying for you. He says, congratulations.
Right. That's right. You know what we have is
we have
the security syndrome.
We're getting shut out on another break here, but we are going to come back. And that was definitely the longest arraignment in history. So we'll be back here in just a minute on the Live Free Zone with John Cutmire.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permanent hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
And welcome back. We're back up here and running on the Live Free Zone. We've got John Cottmeyer, Save a Patriot Fellowship, on the phone with us. And, John, how did your trial turn out on that? So that we'll at least have an ending to the story.
What's interesting is this judge, who's now deceased, his name is James, James Miller, earlier, around, I guess it was around 1976 or 77, must be 77, I was intervening in third-party summonses. At the time, I was a home builder, and they were subpoenaing the records, summonsing the records of all my subcontractors. And this one was A&J Electric, and I intervened, was in court, and James Miller had the hearing, same judge. And he gave me permission to enter to the court a brief the day of the hearing. So I did a brief on Bershaber and Stanton and all these different Supreme Court cases talking about 16th Amendment didn't change the law.
You dared to raise the law, didn't you?
Right. So I took it in and I gave it to the clerk about 15 minutes before the hearing was supposed to start. And he was about 2.5-3 hours late coming out. So I knew what he was doing. He probably never saw those cases before. And he was checking me out. And when he came out, that was evident. Because all rise. We all stood up, but he didn't sit down. He just leaned over on the bench and pointed one finger at me. And this is what he said verbatim. Believe me, I'll never forget it. He says, let me tell you something, Cutmar. He said, it's been a long time ago since those court cases. He says, we've been doing it this way all these years, and we're not going to change now. There's been a lot of water under that bridge. And so I busted out laughing. And Joe Fellner, my electrician, says, what are you laughing for? He's ruling against you. I said in a real loud voice, Joe, don't you understand? He just told me that what I'm saying is right. He can't prove it wrong. Their days are numbered. And, of course, the judge didn't care for that.
He admitted that he couldn't show where you were wrong, but he wasn't going to follow the law come hell or high water. He was going to do what the government told him to do.
He said, we've been doing it this way all these years. We're not going to stop now. I had a judge in Maryland tell me the same thing.
And the sad thing is, John, is that the judges are supposed to be a layer of skin between us and the government. They're supposed to protect us. They're supposed to wield the law, not government interests.
Well, that's right, but all they're doing is protecting the status quo. And they'll tell you that. But any which way, he was the judge that conducted the trial. It was two misdemeanors, two failure to files, and it lasted a month. 1 month. Can you imagine that?
That's a long time.
And it had, it had media, all the time media, you know, tax protest leader being tried. And they would come down and interview me outside of the courthouse, and it was really a big show. But finally, the day that the jury was supposed to go out, I had a man come up to me before the trial started, and he said, Mr. Cutmire, he said, my conscience wouldn't let me stay away. He said, I got evidence that your jury's rigged against you, and I want to tell you about it. And I thought, man, this is a Hollywood movie. So I turned around to Arthur Kronakis, my attorney, who, by the way, was an ex-IRS attorney, and I told Arthur, and Arthur says, whoa. And he turned around and told the U.S. attorney, Steve Allen, and Allen said, oh, crap. And we all wound up back in the judge's chamber with a stenographer. And they put the man under oath. And he testified that about a month before the trial started, the woman who's the foreman on my jury came into his place of business and bragged about how she was going to be on the jury and convict me. So right away, Arthur moved for a mistrial, and the judge denied it. Then Arthur moved for permission to investigate the jury. The judge denied it and said, we're never to investigate the jury, and on with the trial. They gave their closing arguments to the jury. The jury went out. The following day in the evening, the jury came back in, and I could see that woman. I was watching her. She came in and she winked at the judge. And I knew I was guilty. Of course, Arthur said to me when we got back out of the judge's chambers, he said, I can't believe this.
She just let him know mission accomplished.
Right. Well, I said, Arthur, you can't believe it. I said, they don't spend all this money for a month of trial to let me win and get all that media. This is all media. They can't do that. They got to show us the loser. What do you think they did all this for? You know? So any which way, they found me guilty.
What did they end up convicting you of, John?
Failure to file.
Uh-huh.
7203, two counts.
And what did they do?
Well, he gave me the maximum. He said, he told me, I wish I could give you more. And I told him, I said, well, let me tell you something. I'll come out 10 times worse than what I went in, what I'm going in. And what was funny is Steve Allen, the U.S. attorney, he was from Philadelphia. And the weekend before I was to be sentenced, Arthur Kronakis and a bunch of us went up to Boston, and they had a big tea party up there. Of course, I was one of the main speakers, being the show at the time. And I was interviewed by the Philadelphia Magazine while I was up there. And they had my picture in there and all, you know, and I stood where Sam Adams stood in the old church and that balcony and gave the talk and had everybody go down and throw tea off in the harbor, you know. We had tea bags, and then we had chests of teas, these great big styrofoam chests with 1040s all, and we were dumping them off the ship. And it was a big media event. So when we come down to be sentenced in the court, the judge said to Steve Allen, "You have anything to say?" And Allen said, "Your Honor," he says, "I can't believe this man." He said, "I got my copy of Philadelphia Magazine," and he said, "I opened it up and looked in there, and there he was. He's up in Boston while this trial's going on, having this big tea party." And he's telling the judge all this. And finally, the judge said to me, "You have anything to say before I sentence you?" I said, "Yeah, this whole thing is a joke." I said, "This a circus." I said, "This is a circus." I said, this man, pointing to Steve Allen, charges me with failure to file tax returns. And I had filed two Fifth Amendment returns, you know. And I said, and he introduces returns that I filed as evidence.
To prove you didn't file it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I said, this whole thing is a circus, and I believe you're the clown, I said to the judge. And the judge says to me, he says, "Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to give you the maximum, and I wish I could give you more." And I said, "Well, let me tell you something. When I come out, I'm going to come out 10 times worse than when I go in." And while I was in there, I'd write him letters and tell him, you know, he knows I'm writing all this stuff. And I knew it got to him because he kept answering me. You know, I had to got to him, he wouldn't have answered me. But even when I went into the camp, I was there 2 days when the captain asked me to come up to his office. And I went up there and he says, "Look, Cutmar," he says, "I know you're a political prisoner. I checked your background. I know all about you." He said, "My secretary's going to be getting out in about 2 months, and I was wondering if you can consider being my secretary." I said, "Well, Captain, I appreciate that." I said, "But under the circumstances, being an ex-police officer and all, I don't think that would be too good because they might think I'm a snitch or something, so I appreciate it, but I have to turn you down."
You're being singled out for favorable treatment or something because of your previous work record.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I figured that wasn't a good
That was probably a wise call.
Yeah.
So you did time.
Yeah, I did. I maxed out a 2-year sentence.
Yep. And so you're not one of these that's out there putting it on the line. You put it on the line and paid it.
I could have got out in about 5 months on parole, but I wouldn't take parole.
You wouldn't accept the conditions of parole?
No. No, not at all.
So you did an extra 19 months simply because you were not going to agree to obey the government when there was no law requiring you to do that.
Well, actually, with camp time and good time, my entire stay was 17 months and 5 days.
Right. So you spent an extra year in prison just on the basis of your integrity.
Right.
Now, that tells us what a man's made of, is what he's willing to lay down strictly on the basis of what he believes is right. John, hats off to you. Now, you weren't through with them then, though, were you? They weren't through with you.
Oh, no, I made a promise to them that when I went in, I'd come out worse than when in, and I think I kept that promise.
I believe that they've been trying to shut you up for 30 years then.
Quite a while they've been working on it.
Now, you've got right now pending their latest effort in a nutshell. What are they doing now? What have they pulled now to try to shut John Cotmeyer up and stop him from telling people the truth?
Well, you know, while I was in there, I always look at things, you know, as they're looking down the road. It's like a chess game we're playing with these people. And you got to stay ahead of them, and you got to make the right moves, and you got to there, I spent my time thinking what was the best way to combat these people. And while I was there, some of these young fellows, we had about maybe 10 patriots in there doing time. And some of them were fairly young, you know, like in their 30s and late 20s. And some of them had to capitulate because of their families. You know, there was nobody taking care of their family, and they had two or three kids. And they just had to get out as fast as they could so they could support them.
Well, there are just some of us that are not equipped for that type of combat, but we can fight in other ways.
Well, that's right. So what I was thinking, I thought, well, no army travels without logistics. You know, you have to have some kind of support.
That's right.
So that's
somebody has to make the bullets.
That's what I put together, the idea for Save a Patriot Fellowship, that everybody, you know, you can handle just about everybody, even other members of other organizations get involved and can be an umbrella for the whole movement, where if we all get involved and somebody gets time, well, then we can support his family where he don't have to capitulate.
Yeah.
And if they lose property, then we can replace the property, because it's just pennies to everybody. You know, I don't think we ever had an assessment over $20 to help people.
Yeah.
Per, you know, so it was assessed to the membership proportionately as to the numbers, and it's worked for, I guess now it's like going on 24 years.
Yeah.
When we started that, and they didn't care for it, but I gave it a lot of thought. I had a lot of time to lay around and think about it, you know.
But that organization was certified by the courts as a First Amendment, purely political organization, was it not?
That's correct. That's correct. When I put it together, I thought of every way that they could attack it. And before I went in, I used to do these trusts, you know, and I thought, no, they'll attack that. They'll come back with this abusive tax shelter thing, you know.
Right.
I thought that ahead of time. So we didn't give anybody any advice.
You didn't promote or sell any tax scheme or method.
No, we didn't have no scheme, no method. Didn't give anybody any advice. We didn't tell anybody what to do. We did publish facts about the law, and facts about the Constitution, and different things. And of course, we all covered trials and things of that nature, and news about fellowship members. But we never did tell anybody what to do. We've never published anything like that. Our website is clean as a whistle.
And yet, somehow or another, the government has finally decided that you were promoting or selling an abusive tax shelter.
Well, what happened first was we, in July of 1993, we had somebody inside the IRS come and tell us that they were planning on raiding us. So what we did was we backed up all our paper files, all the work that we did, you know, case work for the members and all the paralegal work and all the paper files that we had. The membership list was kept off of premise. And so we had everything backed up off premise. And then on December the 10th, what we did is when we got that word, we wrote to the IRS commissioner and said, if you can find anything that we've been saying that's wrong about the law, we would appreciate you correcting it. In fact, we would love to meet with you and talk about this. We want to make sure we're within the law. So there was no answer. So a month or so later, I wrote another letter and told them, you know, they could even put a liaison in our office to make sure that we're following the law. And that's when I got a response back from Chief Counsel IRS. And he said that the commissioner's not going to meet with you and we're turning the whole matter over to CID in Baltimore. And then the next thing they did is I come into work one day, and there was two special agents standing there. And they served me with a subpoena to a grand jury in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And I thought, what the world's this? I was to testify before the grand jury in the matter of one of our members who lived in South Dakota. So one of the paralegals went along with me with a habeas corpus because I figured what they're going to try to do is convict me somehow of contempt or whatever. And so he had a habeas
corpus. John, we're coming up on a break, and let's finish this up after the break, and then I want to talk about what you're doing right now.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Welcome back to the Live Free Zone. We're back up and running again. And we've got John Kottmeyer with us here today. And John, you were talking about the raid, so
yes,
to speak, on you, dragging you up to
South Dakota, and then raid the next day where I wouldn't be there.
So they were getting you out of there.
Right, but the grand jury in South Dakota didn't indict me. And I got the last flight out, and the next morning when I left for work, They were outside in camouflage, and they had 25 of them in the woods around our house, and they had 25 over at the office. And when I was halfway between, they hit both places.
Doesn't anybody see, the similarities between what's going on here and Geheime Staatspolizei, or better known as the Gestapo, that was terrorizing and muffling and stifling resistance in pre-war World War II?
It's certainly there. I mean, it's
pre-war
plain,
Germany.
It's plain to see. I mean, it's identical.
Just how much? I mean, how much of this do we have to see before we get the hair to stand up on the back of our necks? We find some hind legs and stand up, because that's why all those atrocities occurred in Germany, is that the people just accepted it. They didn't fight back. There was a German resistance, but it was far, far too small and too weak. Matter of fact, I know one of the gentlemen who was in that resistance.
Right.
And he indicated, his warning was that the dictatorship doesn't happen overnight. Tyranny doesn't occur in one fell swoop. It comes in little pieces, usually pieces that are too small to fight over.
Right.
But before you know it, you don't have enough freedom left to save what you have.
Well, that's what's happening now. I mean, these attacks are becoming bolder and bolder.
Well, it's because we have fewer and fewer rights, and because they're becoming more and more indifferent.
Not indifferent to anything, but their will to shut us up.
And they haven't been able to do that to you in 30 years, but right now, what's afoot is an effort again to shut you up.
Well, that's correct. We won the raid case, and the judge ruled that, in fact, it was a two-prong attack. They had a criminal investigation on me, and they were fighting the fellowship, contending that we weren't keeping records as a business, and I was doing business as the fellowship. And, of course, the judge ruled that we were First Amendment unincorporated association, and that I was something with the fiduciary. It wasn't my business. I was not doing business as.
Right.
So that put them in a very bad position, which still holds today, really.
Well, it should, unless you have changed the way that you are conducting the affairs of the fellowship, which you have not.
No, we have not. We wouldn't dare do that. That's why when they started back against us in 2003, I thought, this is a joke, you know, because how in the world did they expect to do anything, because we're not doing anything that they can put their hand on.
So the bottom line comes in that they cannot demonstrate a right, so they show their might.
That's
and when
exactly
right rules over might, we're in trouble, aren't we?
We're in bad trouble.
All right. And we'll be back, and we're going to talk about the current efforts against John Kottmeyer and Save a Patriot Fellowship after the top.
It's true.